That's all I heard him when I am. Well, CKUT is a messenger, teaching the youth about roots and culture, and tell the massive them to remember Jah. That's all I heard him when I am. Well, 90.3 FM. It's CKUT, the cultural radio station. Radio McGill. Blessed love. The messenger. Take it away.
Welcome to CKUT, to the Montreal Sessions, or in this iteration, the Swanee Sessions. This is Penny Patterson, and I am joined in studio today with Keepa Stimac.
Hey, hey.
Louise Burns.
This is I.
And Alex Moskis.
Hello, hello.
Four humans live on the air together.
I know, it's
the
crazy.
First time in a while. So we're going to be talking about the upcoming Swanee Festival, which is celebrating its 22nd year. And we're going to be talking about some of the history and how the music festival has evolved over time. And we're going to be featuring a lot of the music that you can watch and see over the next month. It starts from June 3rd and goes to the 26th. And there's
29.
All months long, all June long. And there's also some workshops and other things. So we'll be your guide to navigating the festival. And I thought it'd be a good place to start to just touch back, because we're going into the 22nd year, about the history. So maybe, Keepa, you want to talk about what was the initial idea around the festival?
To be honest, we had just taken over the CASA, and me and my partner, Morrow, at the time, and we had gone from, you know, just getting out of university. We're 27, 28 years old, and we had worked, I guess, jobs in labor. I was cleaning houses, and Morrow was working in a nursery, and we were trying to think of another way to just live in this world. And we heard from Jordy Rosen, who's an accordion player and singer with a beautiful, beautiful soul, tarot reader as well, that the artist show, which was like a speakeasy in this storefront on Saint Laurent, the guy who was running it had taken off. I don't know. There might have been some drugs involved. I don't know, actually.
I think there were some didgeridoos as
well. Oh, yes. Drugs and didgeridoos.
And beer in latte bowls.
And a lot of tinfoil in the basement. Like the whole thing, floor to ceiling, was wallpapered in tinfoil by Bendy Wendy.
Oh, wow.
I remember that.
But so we heard from Jordy it was free, and we were like, okay. More. I was just got out of cooking school. I'd been working in a women's shelter. And Morrow had been playing in a band for a long time, a touring band, and we were like, oh, we can't let another venue go. Because also at that time, you had to pay to play. Like, all the small venues, there was some kind of charge to play. And we were like, why can't we just make a venue? I'll run a cafe and we'll take over. But we really didn't know what the heck we were doing, you know? We had a credit card that Morrow got when he was working at Loblaws. And
children,
yeah,
turn off your radio.
So, yeah, from humble beginnings to what it is today. But when you started the Swoney, like the festival itself,
it was just like,
I mean, for me, it's always been like weird and beautiful music and highly experimental, but all over the map, so many different kinds, from being very punk to free jazz to like very inclusive, diverse programming. How did you see it initially, and like how would you say it's evolved over time when you curate it and choose the people you want to play?
Right. Well, for sure, that is, I got to give props 100% to my folks, yeah, who, you know, I grew up in a certain generation, and they were music lovers from Detroit. So they grew up, they gave me Motown, they gave me all the 60s music. My dad played John Coltrane as soon as I came out of the womb, you know, like. And then the punk is my youth, and Morrow's youth, that's our youth. That's what we, you know, fell in love and connected on, was that Billy Bragg, you know, too. So there's folk, there's the political music in there. Both the reason my whole family's in Canada is because my dad was a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War. So I grew up going to marches. That's just where I was, carrying a placard. So
Where did that come from? What about your mom?
This is deep. Let's go deep.
You don't have to go that deep. But musically, what?
Musically, I'd say, 100%. She was the best dressed hippie in Detroit. She was going to the Grand E Ballroom to see Jimi Hendrix, you know? She was fabulous. My dad made a pair of knee-high leather boots that he made himself, you know, with fringes on the side. And they were seeing the MC5, like all of that came from both of them too, you know? They grew up in a musical time, like the era that they grew up was like some of the best music on the planet. And the place they lived was just pumping that out, you know?
So that's they were why I blessed named my child way. Detroit, frankly. Yeah. Trying to just catch that high.
Yeah. And 100%, I mean, the reason we named it the Casa del Popolo in the first place, the House of the People, was totally, again, I credit my dad with that. When I was a kid in Toronto, he ran the Communist Party bookstore. Like that kind of mentality, like making it free for the artist to play, making sure the beer was never over a certain price, hopefully trying to pay our employees a decent wage. But you know, times are hard. It's hard to work within capitalism, I think. Wow. And especially when you're trying to do something that's about creativity and stuff, like a music festival or music venues, but at the same time you have to work within the confines of like selling beer and granting systems and
making it happen.
Yeah.
Louise, what about you? You've been on the board of Swoney for a while, and you've also been, you've got deep roots in Montreal music alternative community. What's your impression of the festival? What does it mean to you, and have you seen it change?
Well, I am a very good audience member. What I would say is that I had a very kind of confined music palette, and holded it true to my identity, you know? And was a total snob about all of that. But then
What was the palette?
Well, punk rock, of course.
Obvi.
And I mean, you know, rock, very, you know, don't talk to me about folk or don't talk to me about certain genres of music. And then I was exposed to experimental music, or I guess rebellion, in with different sounds. And I felt like the Swoney palette was something like I aspired to ingest, you know. I felt I was not worthy and that my knowledge was limited, and it just kind of like made me hungry and, you know, I just ate it all up. So I am always curious about how that kind of like broad, big ears happened, and you explained it quite well, actually.
I think it's also like the music that I'm drawn to, or that I think the other people who are part of the CASA itself in the era, because it's like, this is like Detroit was for my dad. I feel like Montreal was for a lot of people in Canada, came here to make music. Mm-hmm. And in the era that when we started, Montreal was a really affordable place. It was mm-hmm. a city you could live in as an artist. I mean, this has all been in canon already. But because of that, so many interesting and far out things were happening, like all over the place when CASA opened. In all parts of the city, you know, and it was a really dynamic and exciting time. Just the people in this room right now, I can remember seeing at so many different places doing really... Can I swear on the radio?
You can.
Can or can't?
Can, C-A-N. This is the mask on radio era that we're dealing with.
Sign language.
Okay. I mean, within reason.
Okay, really freaking good stuff, the people in this room, you know, like... I think when I started being inspired and listening to the music too, I always wanted music. I like how the free jazz describes itself as liberation music. So it's music that's taking you someplace else or transporting you, which can happen in any music. I mean, it can happen in a Beyonce song. It can happen in a reggae song. Like, it can happen. Like, it's not the style of music. It's the message or the, like you're saying, the feeling behind the music. And so I think when I listen to music, I'm definitely drawn to stuff that's, you know, challenging, or it can even be irritating sometimes. Like, you guys have heard Borbetto Magus? Like, that shit?
Some
when
of my
the...
favorite music I've despised on first year.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it challenges you as an audience member. It challenges your notions. Pushes you out of your comfort zone a lot of times.
And also the radio was parallel to that experience for me, and being like exposed to just like so much diversity in terms of genre and taste. And, you know, it was so educational. So it was, you know, there was just a sense of like possibility and DIY spirit. And
DIY.
do you or it
yourself? Your well, that was it too. Like, people were
do
coming.
Your it.
I'll do my it.
That's the whole new approach and aesthetic right there.
Alex, what about you? You've played in so many bands and so many musical projects, and you've played Swoney so many times over the years. What has that festival meant for you as a performer?
A lot, actually. You know, it's always been, it's always been one of the better paying gigs you can get making weird music, that's for sure. It's always been, you know, I've always felt accepted in the space. I've always felt like it sounds good and that I'm, you know, surrounded by people that care, which is not easy actually to, you know, the structure of a venue is not, even though people are there to see you play, it's the venue itself is not usually not made for, like, it's not designed specific. It's designed to sell beer, really, even though there's a stage that's kind of the central focus. But so that was, as a musician, that was always something that was, like, hugely appreciated. But then there's, like, the diversity of everything that was going on in the programming was always totally amazing and fascinating, and stuff that, like, people hadn't, one of the things that, like, Kiva and Moro were doing was like bringing stuff to Canadian cities that no one else was bringing to Canadian cities. Because I mean, I grew up in Ottawa, and I lived in Toronto a bit before moving, and it was really hard to come across this kind of stuff, you know. So that was really game changing, you know. Canadians are like fairly conservative, even the weird far out ones, and so people didn't want to take risks, I think, to, you know, to bring up, you know, lesser known free jazz musicians and people like Bornbeto Magus or whatever it is, you know.
I think we weirded the scene, though. I think we definitely, like, now some of this stuff is just not, you know, like, it's not as radical as here as it was 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah, that blows my mind, but it's
a lot
true.
Of this, these people who play Swanee now can play other big festivals.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Backwash just went from the Mart, like, right there, couldn't get gigs, to, like, now winning the Polaris Prize, you know? So that feels good to know that...
You changed the game.
Things are reverberating, you know? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when you make music that speaks from your real heart... And, like, I think that's one of the things, like, one of the most influential things I think I saw at Swanee was when Milford Graves did his talk. And we showed that movie about his, like, I can't even describe his heart machine. Yeah. Alex, can you describe that thing?
Not really. I mean, it's, gosh.
He plays the rhythms of the heart in some, like a drummer, in some crazy, beautiful ways. And he's hooked himself up to all these machines. And then he ended up getting sick in his heart and tried to heal himself with the music. And this year has been crazy for me, guys. You know, I think COVID has been crazy for everybody too, you know, like this past few years, like the whole world has lived in trauma. And there's been like this global depression in some ways. And I think definitely this year's festival, I went and I listened to all the music and in a row, and everything at this festival, I was realizing like is either dealing with depression or anxiety or isolation or paranoia in some way, but a lot of the music is actually joyful or
ascending.
Yeah, so it's like transformative or transcendental or all these things that people use. But that's why I'm super stoked to get this music out to everybody. Should we play a song?
Yeah, well, yeah. So speaking of the music, we opened up with Nation Time by Joe McPhee, who's performed at the first Swanee ever and is also opening up this year. And Joe is one of the more elder statesmen of the...
83.
Amazing. Amazing. And someone, you know, if you haven't seen him live, like...
Yep.
60s run,
legend.
Don't walk.
Was in Pauline Oliveris's Deep Listening band, just like innovator.
Also on the opening night is Angel Bat DeWitt, who is incredible, who we're going to hear from in just a moment. But I saw her perform here in April, and she's magic. Mm. She is just like space and cosmic beauty, and she's very like Sun Ra, Afrofuturism, multi-instrumental on stage. She's magic. And
Space Wizard.
Yeah, I was just so moved seeing her performance. And that's another one that I would be like, wow, what a way to open the festival. So yeah, we're going to take a listen to We Are Stars by Angel Bat DeWitt and come back.
Ooh.
Hey, you're back with the Swoney Sessions on CKUT FM 90.3. And you're here with Penny Passon, Louise Burns, Alice Moxas, and myself, Kiva Stamak. We're talking about Swoney, and you just heard from Jana Rush, who I am so excited that is coming to this festival this year. I listened to this album, I think, nonstop for a good 2 weeks straight. It really helped. And they're a veteran Chicago footwork producer, and the album is just like crazy. It's called like, there's songs like Suicidal Ideation and with Bracing.
Wow.
But it really Painful Enlightenment.
Painful Enlightenment, yeah. But like truly enlightening. Mm-hmm. And like that was sampling Art Blakey's moaning, mm-hmm. but taking it to a new level, you know? And I think a lot of people, like I was saying earlier, are doing that this year, like really dealing with moaning and needing to moan and let it out, you know? So Penny, I was wondering, what are some of your favorite memories of years past? Have you seen any shows besides Angel?
Any performers this time have I seen previously? Well, Jana Rush is going to be fire. I'm really excited for that show. It's going to be like fast and furious bangers. Jana as well as Angel Bat, both fabulous Chicago.
That's day one, day
musicians,
two.
Musicians, women. Yeah, like way to start it off with fireworks.
I'm sorry, but every single night is freaking fire. Look, just read the Prison Religion, Bread and Puppet, New Chance, Christian Wolf. You can't, mm-hmm. the list just keeps going. I'm so excited.
I mean, I have tons of like very formative Swanee experiences over the years, you know, but I mean, definitely a lot of those shows with the X and Get mm-hmm. At You, and those were fantastic. That's some of the best live music I've ever seen.
For sure.
You know? Yeah, Jana Rush is awesome. Like these like pumping house tempos that get just ratcheted up that have inspired this whole like new footwork dancing. It's very like, I've watched a lot of her Boiler Room sessions and they are amazing, amazing, amazing. And the kind of movement it inspires.
Chicago. We talked about Detroit, but Chicago is
another one.
Yeah, you have to be very athletic to keep up with the music of Jana Rush.
Let's go to Canada next then, guys. We're going to hear from Toronto Hardcore Punks Shit coming on another fire night. Total Nada's playing, Homefront playing, Kaza, one of Kaza's. I guess it's going to be the third show at Kaza after being closed for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see if the neighbors like
gonna
that.
They're going to tear it up.
Shit are very much in the, like, Germs hardcore school of punk,
LA kind of sound.
Yeah, tighter, harder, louder, faster, top speed,
anti-capitalist. Mm-hmm.
And you know, they've been like stalwarts of the punk scene in Toronto for years. They've got a steady stream of like 7 inches and live tapes that they've put out, and they run a record shop, Punk Space. They've done a lot for like creating community space, and I think they also run that Not Dead Yet Punk Fest mm-hmm. in Toronto. So yeah, great to have a good solid punk night.
There's a couple. There's Blemish, Ad Vitam, and some friends too. And there's some people from Philly coming. Oh, I think the same night as Shit, Astute Palette, Retail Simps, Free Love Fenner. But let's hear from some of them. We're going to hear Shit, Eraser 3.
We'll be right back.
We're back. That was No Queen by Philly's Astute Palette, featuring Emily Robb on vocals and guitar, David Nance also on vocals and guitar, Richie Charles on drums, and Daniel Provident on bass. And they're also going to be playing the Swoney Fest on the 10th at the Sala Rosa with the Retail Sims from Montreal, who are a lot of fun, and Free Love Fenner. That's another pretty exciting lineup.
The Burns Connection that night, baby.
And shit, it's the same night as shit.
I know. Yes. Oh. It's some hard choices.
Be some hard
choices. No, it's staggered. It's staggered, everybody.
Or running back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. No, one starts at 7:30 and one starts at 9:30, so.
Wow. Full night then.
You could do
the
both.
Marathon. The
runners.
Punk marathon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so earlier we were talking about how, like, this is going to be Swoney. Swoney had to kind of just be online for the last 2 years, and this
Swoney
is going to be the first time back in person, and I think for a lot of people it's really going to be this experience of, you know, healing, and all of us of sort of crawling out from under our collective rocks and our isolation, and, you know, seeing music again live is going to be really therapeutic for a lot of us. And
I think cathartic. The shows that I went to see recently, I've had like true, like, out-of-body catharsis mm-hmm. experiences, even when the music wasn't that good. I think just being in commune with other people in a room sharing
You're
that
thirsty.
Kind of experience again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too. I've been moved to tears at
true,
several
true.
Shows, you know? It's just like, I forgot how much I missed it. I forgot how important it was mm-hmm. just to my, like, basic happiness to be able to see people make music and share that mm-hmm. in a room with other people. It's really fundamental. And a lot of the music at the festival has been written during COVID. And
for
so
sure,
it's
sure.
going to be this process for all of us just to work through our stuff. But what has it been like? We also have Amy that's just joining
Hello.
Us too, one of the organizers of Swoney this
the
year.
Like, more in my face.
Can Kiva or Amy, maybe have you had any like discussions with musicians about what it's like for them to finally be performing live?
Well, Amy is a musician. Let's ask firsthand.
That's true. I have intel on both sides. Well, it's. I mean, the first show that I played post. Well. I had played some sort of live streaming type things during the pandemic, including Sony TV, which was a lovely experience. And after, my first show was in March, and it felt weird. I mean, I expected it to feel weird, so I went in sort of calibrated for like unexpected emotions on many levels. But it caught me off guard just how it feels to actually physically be on stage and have the monitors feeding your voice and or your instruments and your bandmates' sounds too back to you, and having people actually reacting and like talk. Like, I've found that there's at least like 20 to 25% more supportive heckling than there was, like both on my during my set. I found that to be the case, but also like other shows I've been to with people, it's just this feeling of like, yeah. Oh my gosh, we're here and I can talk to you. I can react in real time, and I think. There's a type of magic feedback that happens when you're physically there and performing, and as an audience member, for sure, I feel it. Like, there's just nothing that... There's so much room for unexpected feelings and unexpected gratitude, and I really feel like people are exercising that to the fullest right now.
For my watching experience with Swoney TV, I'd tune in... I'd intentionally miss the beginnings and the ends, because they made me feel sad, because their lack of audience response was just too traumatic for me. So I'd have to, you know, arrive late and leave early. Yeah.
Well, Amy came in today, and she's bringing three of her favorite artists from the festival. And we're all the elders here, but let's hear what some of the younger people think of what's exciting this year. Alex is going to cue it up, but maybe you could describe the three acts that you brought with you today.
Sure. Who's first? Anyone?
I have.
someone will be first.
I received an email that said that Amy's picks were New Chance with a song called Real Time, Kiaville with Drying, and Nada El Shazly with Palmyra.
That aligns with my understanding. Excellent.
Well, so...
So yeah, I guess
email is incredible these days.
It's amazing. You can just forward it and people know exactly what you wrote. So I guess I would start with New Chance. I am so excited. This is one of the artists that I have at the festival that I have not seen play live, but whose work I've been really interested in for a while. It's a producer, vocalist from Toronto who just, I think 2021 released this album called Real Time on We Are Time Records, which is a sweet, experimental label. And, I think this album is it just makes me feel really like open and relaxed. And like the music is this really interesting mix of like electronic, like synths, really interesting production, really interesting beats, kind of trip hoppy, kind of psych. I feel very 90s with it, but maybe other people who were more adult in the 90s than I was might have a more informed opinion of whether or not that's accurate.
We shall see.
I also really love the way that she uses her voice. I think that there's a real sort of like interesting confidence and like intention behind, or at least I sort of hear that as a listener behind a lot of the choices around the vocals. And I'm jazzed. I'm really, really interested and curious to see what it's like in the room. And that's going to be June 7th at CASA with Crasher and Seulement. Crasher, Friends of the Festival, I believe.
Yes, yes.
And that show top to bottom should be pretty great.
And what about Kiaville? Tell us about
Kiaville is Vicky Mettler, who's just such a superstar. I've played a bunch of shows with Vicky and have been a total Kiaville fangirl from the jump. Yep. I'm such a fan. I think she's so so smart and so good. And she's a guitarist and producer and composer. Her album Crease came out on Constellation, I believe, just earlier this year. But it feels like that her whole vision as an artist has been realized and came out of the ether long ago. Like, she's got such a holistic creative vision between the visuals, the feeling of the music, the specific sonic palette that she's developed as a composer and producer, concept to execution. It's just like totally of a piece with itself.
Another space wizard.
I've heard her described as like Bjork meets Colin Stetson.
She has a very like
my horror film, creepy, like spellbound vibe. It's very mesmerizing.
So there's something at the intersection of creepy and groovy going on, but in a way that's like really, really, I find really available to like, and really kind of approachable in a cool way, like ASMR pop. Like it's, I just love it. I think it's great. And that night too, that's going to be an amazing show with Jessica Moss and Mark Molnar. So again, another like stacked
and
lineup.
Family again.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's Vicky was the bartender at Casa for many years.
Right, and also has worked a number of Sony TV shoots
and sound.
So yes. That one's on the 17th at the Sala.
Correct.
That'll be a killer show.
Yeah.
And then what's the last one? Oh, Nada.
Yeah.
He's going to play Wakefield, but we'll be talking about that later. But
yes. So Kiva and I actually picked the same song from Nada El-Shazly. Every time I've seen Nada, I think I've seen Nada El-Shazly perform twice, once at Casa, once at Sala. And it's just, there's such a strong pull. Like, as an audience member, I just, like, can't pay attention to other things when she's on stage. She's got
mesmerizing.
This, oh, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Like, just such presence, but really subtle at the same time. And I don't know if she's released anything in the last, since her album Awar came out. But that album is so, there's so much in it. I go back to it and just find new things to be interested in and to notice all the time. It's really layered, but really fluid at the same time. There's like elements of free jazz, improv, avant-garde, electronica, Egyptian popular music. There's so much there, but it never feels crowded. It always feels very like, it just moves in this really satisfying, really beautiful way. And I don't know. I'm really, really amped to see Nada perform again.
And we'll be seeing that actually under the stars outside at our first ever outdoor show in Wakefield, Quebec.
Yes.
And Nada's one of the Swoney, I guess, reverberating stories that went out into the world, because that connection happened because of Sam Shalabi. And Sam Shalabi was one of our all-time most played at Swoney performers. And but, was, you know, the home care worker for my dad and oud player of the world. And he moved to Egypt and started playing music with Nada in Egypt. And then now she lives in Montreal here.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask whether she was living in Montreal.
Yeah.
Right on.
So amazing. Let's hear those three songs, Alex.
So we'll hear the initial order. Real Time by New Chance is what we're going to hear next. And then we'll hear Drying by Kievil and Palmyra by Nada El-Shazly. And just to say, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Silent dawn is mine.
But I've seen them.
Welcome back. You are listening to Montreal Swoney Sessions on CQUT 90.3. And we have been going through the program and bringing you some of our favorite picks. And that last set was Amy's selections for the upcoming festival. One thing I want to ask about the festival is that it's not just music. It's also, like, one of the things that I find really magical about Swoney is that it gives performers the opportunity to meet one another and connect and collaborate and eat together and socialize. And I think out of that and out of creating that space, a lot of other things have happened. And I think that happens through facilitating things like the workshops and spaces where people can get to know the performers a bit more intimately, and they're not just always on stage. That's something that's been a common thread through the festival's history, is just making different spaces and giving time to community and politics and art and book launches and workshops. So Kiva, maybe you can talk a little bit about that and some of the workshops that are featured this Swoney.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things that I really wanted to do coming out of this past